We hear the term sibling rivalry all the time. Brothers and sisters argue. They compete for attention. They push each other's buttons, and then they make up. That's a normal part of growing up in a healthy family. But what if what you experienced wasn't really sibling rivalry? What if you were assigned a role in your family that followed you into adulthood? Today we're looking at the difference between sibling rivalry and the family scapegoat role, because understanding that difference may finally help you make sense of your childhood and why your siblings remember it so differently than you do. Welcome to Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. If you're done with people-pleasing, tired of repeating the same patterns, and ready to learn what healthy relationships actually look like, you're in the right place. I get it. I was there too. At 65, I started learning the things I wish I'd known decades ago, like how to see the patterns, why we keep repeating them, and how to finally treat ourselves with the respect we always deserved. And somewhere along the way, I realized something that changed everything. When we don't understand our patterns, we pass them on, not because we're bad parents, but because no one ever showed us anything different. That realization drives everything I do. Like a lighthouse, steady and strong, let's all shine a little brighter today. So what's the difference between normal sibling rivalry and the family scapegoat role? Sibling rivalry is a normal part of growing up. Brothers and sisters compete for attention. They argue. They push each other's buttons. But in a healthy family, parents try to be fair. They don't always get it right. But their goal is to help each child feel heard, valued, and loved. The conflict stays between the siblings. It doesn't become part of one child's identity. The family scapegoat role is different. Instead of the conflict staying between the siblings, one child is consistently blamed. Different rules begin to apply. One child's thoughts, feelings, or accomplishments are minimized, while another child's needs seem to take priority. Over time, that child isn't just treated differently. They begin to believe they are different. So how do you know which one you experienced? Here are five questions to ask yourself. Number one, who is creating or reinforcing the conflict? In sibling rivalry, the conflict is mainly between the brothers and sisters. In the family scapegoat role, the parents often reinforce the pattern by taking sides, assigning blame, or treating one child differently than the others. Number two, are the rules the same for everyone? In healthy families, the same behavior gets the same response, no matter which child does it. In unhealthy families, one child may be criticized for behaviors that another child is allowed to get away with. Number three, can the roles change? With sibling rivalry, the roles shift. Sometimes you're the winner, and sometimes you're not. With the family scapegoat role, the role doesn't shift. No matter what happens, somehow you end up being blamed. And number four, does the pattern continue into adulthood? Most sibling rivalry fades as people mature and build their own lives. The family scapegoat role often doesn't. Family gatherings can still leave you feeling blamed, dismissed, or like you were walking on eggshells. The same family patterns simply continue with adult children. And lastly, number five, what has it done to your ability to trust yourself? Sibling rivalry can be frustrating, but it usually doesn't make you question your worth. The family scapegoat role often does. You may find yourself constantly wondering if you're overreacting, apologizing for things that weren't your fault, or needing other people's approval before trusting your own thoughts and feelings. Now, why don't my siblings see what happened? The answer may be that they didn't experience the same family you did. Children can grow up under the same roof and still have very different childhoods. One child may become the golden child. Another may become the hero. Another may disappear into the lost child role. And another may become the family scapegoat. Each child experiences the family through the role they were given. That doesn't mean your siblings are lying. It doesn't even mean they don't love you. It simply means they may have experienced the same patterns in a very different way. Understanding that won't erase what happened, but it may help you stop questioning your own experience, and sometimes that's the first step toward trusting yourself again. Growing up, I thought I was experienced what just normal sibling rivalry was. My sister and I argued. We shouted at each other, called each other names, and fought over who had to clean our bedroom. She would borrow my clothes without asking, and then I'd see her wearing them at school. Boy, could she push my buttons. My two younger brothers are 6 and 8 years younger than me, so I didn't have the same kind of relationship with them. For years, I believed this was simply what happened between brothers and sisters. But there were things I just couldn't make sense of. For example, my parents spent a lot of time and money supporting my sister's passion for horses. They paid for riding lessons, competitions, and everything that went along with it. I remember questioning my mother about it because she often talked about not having enough money. Looking back, I can see it wasn't just about the money. It was about the double standard. My sister's interests and needs mattered more than mine, and I was just to accept it. I also remember my mother getting upset with me when my grandparents gave me a birthday present that was nicer than my sister's. I couldn't understand it. I hadn't asked for nicer gifts. My sister wasn't upset with me. My grandparents obviously weren't upset with me. But somehow, my mother made me responsible for fixing my sister's feelings I hadn't created. It was the same pattern. Whenever my mother believed something wasn't fair for my sister, or my brothers for that matter, somehow I became the one who was expected to make it right, even though I hadn't done anything wrong. At the time, I didn't have the words for it. I thought it was just sibling rivalry. It wasn't until years later, when I started learning about narcissistic family dynamics and the family scapegoat role, that everything began to make sense. I remember thinking, that's me. For the first time, I realized this wasn't simply siblings who didn't get along. I had been assigned a role in my family. And understanding that difference changed everything. It became the beginning of learning to trust myself instead of questioning myself. We've looked at the pattern, now what? Because recognizing the pattern is only the first step. Change begins when you start responding differently. That's why I created a free cheat sheet for this episode. To download it, you'll find the link in the show notes. Now, here are 5 ways I wish someone had told me back then how to respond. Number 1, learn the difference between conflict and a family role. Not every difficult relationship between brothers and sisters is sibling rivalry. Healthy siblings fight. They tease each other. They get on each other's nerves and then move on. The family scapegoat role is different. One child is repeatedly treated as the problem while the family members continue to see them through that role. Understanding that difference can be life-changing. It helps you stop asking, what's wrong with me? And start asking, what role was I assigned? Here's how you can respond. Before blaming yourself, ask, is this normal sibling rivalry? Or was I repeatedly given a role in my family? And number 2, your siblings can have a completely different childhood than you do. One of the hardest things to understand is that children can grow up in the same house and still experience very different childhoods. Birth order, personality, family roles, and changing family circumstances all shape how each child experiences the family. Your siblings may genuinely remember your childhood differently than you do. That doesn't automatically mean someone is lying. It simply means you may not have experienced your family in the same way. Here's how to respond. Remind yourself that different memories don't automatically mean someone is lying. Number 3, stop waiting for your siblings to validate your experience. Many family scapegoats spend years hoping a brother or sister will finally say, "You're right. That wasn't fair." Sometimes that happens. Often, it doesn't. Your siblings may remember your childhood differently, or they may not be ready to question the family's version of events. Your healing doesn't have to wait for everyone else to understand your experience. It begins when you believe in yourself. Here's how to respond. Your healing doesn't have to wait for their agreement. And number 4, compare patterns, not individual events. Almost every family has arguments, misunderstandings, and moments that aren't fair. One difficult day doesn't make someone the family scapegoat. Instead of focusing on one event, ask yourself, is this a pattern? Were you repeatedly blamed? Were different rules applied to you? Did you often leave family gatherings questioning yourself? The pattern tells you far more than any single event ever will. Here's how you can respond differently. Look for the pattern, not just the incidents. And lastly, number 5, focus on building your future instead of proving your past. Once you recognize the role you were given, it's easy to spend years trying to convince other people that your experience was real. But healing isn't about winning the argument. It's about choosing a different future. Every healthy boundary you set, every time you trust your instincts, every time you stop taking responsibility for someone else's emotions, you're breaking the pattern, and that's when real healing begins. Here's how you can respond. Self-trust grows when you stop trying to win the argument and start living differently. If you're a parent, grandparent, or another caring adult, remember this. Healthy sibling relationships don't happen because children never argue. They happen because children know they are equally loved, equally valued, and equally responsible for their own behavior. When disagreements happen, avoid taking sides or assigning one child a permanent role. Instead, listen to each child's perspective, hold everyone to the same expectations, and help them work through the conflict together. The goal isn't to decide who is the good child or the difficult child. The goal is to help each child learn how to solve problems, take responsibility for their own actions, and repair the relationship. Children may not remember every argument they had growing up, but they will remember how they were treated. When they know they are seen, heard, and valued equally, they develop something far more important than getting their own way. They develop confidence, self-worth, and trust in themselves and the people who love them. Sibling rivalry and the family scapegoat role can look similar on the surface, but they are not the same thing. One is a normal part of growing up. The other is a role that can be assigned, reinforced, and carried into adulthood. If you've spent years wondering why your siblings don't remember your childhood the way you do, it may not be because one of you is right and the other is wrong. It may simply be because you didn't experience the same family, even though you grew up in the same house. You don't need your siblings to agree with you to trust yourself. You don't need them to validate your experience for it to have been real. You see the pattern, Now what? Now you stop asking what's wrong with me and start asking what role was I given? And then you begin making different choices. One healthy boundary, one new response, one step at a time. That's when healing begins. Whether you're starting to understand yourself more clearly or learning to do things differently, you're building the skills to grow into the person you're meant to be. Listening is important, but real change happens when you use what you've learned. That's why I've created a cheat sheet. See the pattern, now what, for today's episode. I'll help you name the pattern, point out how it shows up in your life, and how you can respond differently. Find the link in the show notes or visit lessonsforlifewithgrandmacate.com. And if you want more life lessons like this, be sure to follow Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. If this episode resonated with you, there's a link in the show notes to show your appreciation. Either way, I am grateful for you being here. If no one has told you lately, everything will be okay. Tomorrow is a new day, and with it comes new hope. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are grateful for?